Records of the Unknown, Operation Latency, contains horror elements that may be disturbing to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
You are listening to an Atomic Broadcasting production, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the feature presentation. And remember, do your part, such as like, comment, rate, and don't forget to tell a friend to tune in for an Atomic Time.
That's it. What? Steel, Adams. Where are they?
The records of many missions are incomplete. You may not find satisfaction in how the story ends. But the book needs to be closed. And that's why you're here.
He closes the folder. Taps it a couple times in thought. What do you need me to do? And he sets it in front.
Elvin will take you to mission debrief.
Will Derringer be there?
No. He shouldn't be tied to this one.
As little information as possible. Like normal, right?
As much as is pertinent. You of all people know the risks of knowing too much.
Agent Green and Olive. Will they be a part of this?
No. As Alvin told you, Olive, we have been unable to contact. And Green is preoccupied.
Why doesn't that surprise me? He stands up, picks up his briefcase. Archivist? He heads to the door, grabs the handle, and pauses. Agent L. Will I be seeing him again?
That remains undecided. He was compromised quite a while ago.
He turns his head a little bit just to look behind him. Majestic?
Perhaps not, if you resolve this quickly.
He turns to look at the door again, and right before he's about to pull it, one last question. What if we meet them again? And not hearing an answer, he turns around.
And she is not there. And the door begins to open. And you hear, we'll just really hope to avoid that. If you do, I think things might get violent. As Alvin is standing there. And I prefer the less violent missions when I read about them.
His hand is still on the door handle, staring at an empty room.
It's a nasty habit she has, doing things like that.
At those words, he just kind of snaps him out of whatever frozen state he was in. He just gets a frown and he looks at Alvin and then just shakes his head. I believe you're taking me to the mission. Debrief.
Yes. I'll be taking you to debriefing and meeting some new friends.
Absolutely. He once again just shakes his head and walks out the door, passing Alvin, and then stops. Oh,
nice jacket.
Thanks.
And then he just nods. Not scary.
Just looks at his just unsuspecting brown jacket. He's like, I got it out of the thrift store recently.
Which way?
Right this way. Let's get a little wiggle on. Then the door closes, and in its reflection, we see the archivist sitting at a table, and we cut to black. November 20th, 10:45 a.m. Corporal Adams, Dr. Steele, you will stand here in the mine. Behind you is the gruesome, half-empty body of John the Sheriff, and a body mutilated by a shotgun blast that you know to be Dan Haley, owner of the mine. In front of you was a creature of vegetation make that resembled something like a crab, an insect of some sort. And flashes of light began to burn and it left you, leaving behind a button-up shirt. And now you will stand there.
Thanks for coming as quick as you did.
Certainly would. Let's hopefully make it out of this hole first, though. Let's get out of here.
Agreed. I'm gonna take the shirt.
Is there other, like, the fungus that we've been seeing pop up around in here? Is the floor squishy like it's been in here?
Or? No. There's no sign of any fungal activity in here.
That's a fair point. Is there anything else in that chamber of worth of note? Or just the bodies of the sheriff and Dan Haley?
All that's in there right now are tools for the miners, some setups, and the leftover explosives.
Let's get out of here.
Two more lost.
Yeah.
What'd you see? You were first down here.
I saw the lights. I saw the sheriff standing over Dan Haley's body.
I wasn't sure which one of them it was first or not.
It appeared that the sheriff killed Dan Haley. I called out to him to get him to turn around. And when he did, there wasn't much left of him. He was already gone. He was hollowed out. His brain was gone. I shot him in the head, but there was nothing in there. And his eye was hanging out and his leg was injured. And as soon as I put him down is when that thing came down from the ceiling.
It's disturbing.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. I think if we're going to tell the townspeople what's happened here, we just tell them that
In a dispute,
they killed each other.
Yes.
Or we could tell them that the sheriff killed Dan Haley and I had to stop him from hurting me. I don't think that would necessarily go over very well, considering we're outsiders and the sheriff has lived here his whole life.
Or we could, a bit more dry, so we could leave him buried in here.
I hold up a stick of dynamite.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Doesn't put us in a very good position with the town, destroying their mine, but they don't have to know.
Dan Haley's dead, although, yeah, that's... I'm not sure who else is in charge for running the things. He was the owner of it.
I mean, his brother's dead, so not him.
I'm not sure who else in his family they have. We can't... It'd be hard to explain anything if we just bury the bodies and it's like, nope, they just disappeared. I don't think that's going to fly at all. If it's a mining accident, then at least we can explain away why we can't recover the bodies, because them shooting each other can certainly explain Dan. I'm not sure how it could be explained unless we can hide it. At least Peter would see, but John.
Straight bullet hit a stick of dynamite.
As you two are still walking to the entrance of this mine, Corporal Adams, you're still feeling the shaking. And when you take another step, you feel like everything is intensifying, all of the shaking. Dr. Steele, you feel nothing, and you're looking at him steadying himself as like he stops walking for a bit.
Are you okay, Corporal?
You don't feel that?
No.
It feels like an earthquake or something. Something unsteady ground. You don't feel that?
Look around, like the cave where he's walking, anything, but
this looks like he's...
Just looks like the normal tunnel.
Oh, I'm like putting my hand on the cave wall to steady myself.
And after a few seconds, everything starts calming down.
That happened when I entered, too. You didn't feel that then, either?
No, I was... Maybe I didn't notice the time, but I was in a hurry down here.
Well, if you don't feel it standing right next to me, you're not... Then you're... Something's... God. Are we going to collapse the tunnel or what?
The only thing that's going to be hard to explain is another bang. That's going to draw the crowd again with the dynamite. They all came for a gunshot.
Oh, there were several other gunshots just now.
It's true.
At this point, you guys are getting closer to the entrance still. And you can hear the rushing sound of water as you hear this enormous, loud clapping, slamming of water against what would probably be the town, the edge of the town. This feels like an enormous wave came crashing right outside the mine.
What in the... I'll move faster.
Not even thinking about caving the mine anymore. I hurry up to see what happened to the town.
You head outside. The town looks unharmed, but the waves are getting quite torrential.
That's unsettling.
And it looks like most of the town folk are in their homes. No one's really outside at the moment, except Doctor, you see by Peter's house, you see Peter talking with Valerie. What you recognize is those two.
Okay.
Corporal Adams at the dock, the edge of the town, where the waves would be at their worst, you see Aurora standing there. Waiting.
I think I'm gonna go tell. First of all, with Valerie here, I think I'm gonna tell Peter that Valerie might be ill with that, even though she's there. I'm gonna tell him about John. Not everything, but I'm gonna tell him that he's no longer with us.
Fair enough. Yes. I think we've lost our window to collapse the mine. You do that, I'll meet back up with you.
Dr. Steele, you approach Peter and Valerie. Peter looks over at you. Doctor, I'm glad you're here. Would you please come inside real quick? We need to talk to you.
What is it, Peter? Were you able to find Dan?
No, I don't know where Dan is. He turns, he's like, Tommy, will you please go wait inside? And Valerie nods and heads inside. Wait. Dr. Tommy needs to talk to us.
I think that'd be a bit difficult at this time. Very well. I've seen plenty of strange things. Do we need to get Aurora? I don't know if she...
No, that's just...
After you, Peter.
Alright. He looks very kind of shaken up, like he's maybe cried in the past recently. And he starts heading inside.
Following them in, Dr. Steele is definitely on high alert. Always want to make sure like he's closest to the exit and hand on the shotgun.
You head inside and the wind pulls the door closed. And Valerie is sitting on the couch, her head in her hands. just kind of shaking a little bit, kind of rocking. I'm just so tired of all of this.
Sure, it will be. We'll try to make things right with this. Valerie, how are you feeling this morning?
As awful as always. I just wanted to live again. I didn't want to lose all of this, and I'm just so tired. I want to have a normal life again. I don't want to have to kill anyone anymore. And the doctors are like, oh, it's okay. Calm down, just a minute.
Tommy.
And Valerie looks up at you.
This is certainly strange. I'm sorry if it's painful to think about. Do you remember what happened the night you were electrocuted?
Yeah, the accent from Valerie has kind of gone away. It was, I guess I was just stupid. I didn't have the wiring right, and I got hit by the feedback, and it reacted a lot differently to my physiology. I wasn't made like you were, but a lot has happened.
Certainly interesting. The feedback I saw in your home, there was the iron rod set up in the basement. Is that what caused it?
No, that was a different thing. I did that to get rid of the fungus.
It worked.
I only wish I could have talked to you then. And Amanda might not be dead.
We're sorry.
I was trying to get her away from the doctors. Trying to help her.
As Peter has mentioned us since you've been like this, have you seen Sasha?
Peter kind of turns around and heads to the kitchen to grab like a drink or something. Sasha's dead. There was so much that wasn't supposed to happen there.
It was a tragic set of circumstances.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to see it for myself, but I've heard that Sasha's actually at the sanitarium as well.
What?
I thought that might be why you were wanting to keep Amanda away. I've only heard that. I haven't been able to.
No, they said Sasha was dead. John told me Sasha was dead.
I'm sorry.
After everything she went through.
I kneel down next to Valerie. I'm sorry. What happened after the accident? Do you remember how you were?
No. Sasha's alive?
Yes. I've only heard that she's at the sanitarium. I don't know if they might have moved her. I haven't been able to go check myself.
What? And he starts like shaking and starts throwing up a bit of that gray stuff. The right arm sort of starts twitching and starts shriveling a little bit.
Sorry, I don't understand. Are you spending yourself?
No, these bodies, they don't fit right. They don't last long. I was made for my body, and now I don't have it. And none of these work. I just wanted a body again. Now I've killed all these people. And Sasha's alive. She was never supposed to be involved in any of this. I have to go get her now.
Wait. We will go. We can go get her, but let's take a moment. I'm sorry. I had to try your patience, but... We will go see her. Hopefully she's okay, but I'm afraid she may not be in the right state of mind since then as well.
She kind of shakes her head and starts standing up, and then one of the legs kind of gives out and they fall back on the couch. This damn body. I was hoping, praying it would be maybe the one. Everything's been such a blur. Since the accident, I can't live without a body very long, so I have to have one. But I wasn't designed for them. They weren't right for me. I didn't want to kill all these people, but I couldn't let myself die. I was scared.
Just try to remain calm. We'll try to keep as long as we can in what you have right now. Tommy, yeah. If I remember correctly from when I was learning earlier when I came to visit this town, were you raised in an orphanage by Aurora?
Yeah, I was raised there. I didn't have parents.
Right.
I don't know where the baby came from, but all I know is I was designed for it. They made me that, and they put me here for the experiment.
Since you were passing, does Aurora know?
No. I don't think so.
You were not close with her?
I don't know what that woman knows, or what she doesn't know. I don't care about her. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. She raised me, and I struggle sometimes with emotions.
Until here with Peter, you haven't confided with anyone else?
No, I wanted to just solve the problem and have it go away. And after I killed a couple people, how was I supposed to just tell everyone? I'm a murderer now.
Do you know if the doctors have come to town yet?
I haven't seen them, no. But maybe I can use that to get to the sanitarium. I need to find her doctor. This whole town is falling apart.
Yes.
And it's because of me. They stopped talking to me when I was younger. And I got married to Sasha. Maybe I wasn't supposed to do it. I don't know. But they stopped talking to me, and I felt like I was a person, and I had feelings, emotions. I loved Sasha. And she wasn't supposed to ever get pregnant. That was an impossibility. That's what they told me. And then she did. And I was so worried something was going to happen to her. And something did. I don't know what happened to her when the baby was born. They started speaking to me again. And I would find her at night, just looking, just staring.
Who were speaking to you?
Things that made me. They spoke to me, and I think they did something to her.
Do you remember what they looked like? You only ever hear them.
I don't know. I never saw them. They just talked to me in lights. I can understand the lights. The fungus, they'd speak to me through it sometimes. I think they did something to her. And then she died, and she killed her. She... and just starts breaking down in tears. Doctor, and it takes your hands. Will you help me? Another wave crashes against the dock as we see Corporal Adams walking down the dock. Aurora standing there, waves splashing into her, but she is ever unmoving as the corporal struggles with the wind, with the water splashing around. The dock shakes. As you get close to her, you hear her through all of this loud. You hear her very clearly as she says, "Are you prepared?"
"Yes."
"What have you brought to sacrifice?"
Corporal Adams will reach into his shirt and pull out a chain that has dog tags on it. "I made a promise when I became a soldier to protect people. I want whatever's happening here to end.
To end?
I want these people, this world, to be safe. I don't know if you or whatever is in the water can help with that. But this is who I am, and he holds up the dog tags. I'm willing to sacrifice this if you can help.
A sacrifice of oneself seems worthy enough a sacrifice to me. Come up to the edge.
I do so.
Look into the depths.
Kind of lean forward a little bit.
Now give it to him.
I'll hold it out over the water, hand shaking. Slowly let it slip from his fingers.
As it begins to fall, you hear gunfire. You hear shouting. You remember seeing things. You're in a Nazi base, fighting your way through, water crashing. Your people are screaming. You see something in the distance walking towards you. Fire surrounds you as you walk by a stack, a pile of bodies, a dead body in your hands. Now it's your daughter, alive and happy as you play with her. Now it's raining as you're watching her be taken away from you, as you're left all alone in a bar, drinking. You sit in a circle of men and introduce yourself, and they are all receptive to you as you share your troubles and your heartache and worries. You sit in your bed alone. Years go by, you hear the screaming, countless screaming. As the dog tags hit the water, you hear, "My dad stops monsters." As the dog tags hit the water, they stop, landing on something solid. The water all starts to drain down as it then begins to rise. As it looks to you, in front of you, like a mountain rising from the depths. Water torrenting off in all directions. This figure, this being rising, dwarfing you. You see what looks like a hand holding the fishing vessel. As it continues to rise, towering above, lightning strikes against it, lighting up the sky, lighting up the dark fur of this creature. You see its six arms stretching, holding what to it would be a type of walking stick or staff, but to you it looked like that of the New York skyline. As the water rains down from its body, you see on its head, where a mouth would be, there is nothing. But on the top of its head is split down the middle with two sides of an elongated mouth. As the many eyes look down upon you, lightning crashes, now red. The water now seeping into the town. You see buildings crash and start to fall apart. And a deep guttural rumbling begins around you as if something is speaking, but the very heavens are quaking. And with a flash of red from the lightning, we fade to black. January 7th, 1997. Washington State. We are outside of a motel. It's storming very heavily. Inside of one of the rooms, we see Logan Mitchum sitting, staring at the wall. There's a knock at the door, the twist of a key, as Alvin, the Delta Green agent, presumably so, who has been leading you all around, steps in. He's utterly drenched, no umbrella on him. All right. Wipe some of the water off of him. Are you ready to meet your team?
Logan doesn't reply. He's still sitting, staring at the wall, his fingers drumming.
Agent Gray, we are on a timetable here. Is everything okay?
Everything's fine, Alvin. And he just turns. I believe it's time to meet my team.
Yes, follow me. I hear, flights into Alaska from here can be, quite troubling. So, be prepared, if you will.
His fingers stop drumming.
You never know what you might see. And with that, he opens the door back up again to the winds and the rains. And he steps out.
Yes. Everything looks better in the light.
And with a flash of lightning, we fade to black. This is the end of season 2. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Records of the Unknown Operation Latency. Records of the Unknown is an Atomic Broadcasting production. Delta Green is copyright of Arc Dreams Publishing. Operation Latency is not published or endorsed by Arc Dreams Publishing and is an original module created and run by Samuel Sarver. Our players are Nolan as Dr. Sylvester Steele, and Harold as Corporal Alexander Adams. Music in the show is from Monument Studios, as well as various artists. If you enjoy the show, be sure to subscribe or follow the Atomic Broadcasting Network on your favorite listening platform. If you want to stay in touch, you can follow us on our socials listed in the description. Join the community in our Discord server to be notified of future uploads and join in on the conversation of what's to come. Don't forget to like, comment, and tell a friend. And as always, have an atomic time.
Congratulations on finishing season 2.
I may have made a horrible mistake.
It's okay.
I knew, to be fair, Steven knew that this was a very bad idea.
I think it checks out for the sake of containing things and stopping everything else that's going on. Because there's a lot more than just, oh, we have a body snatcher.
Yeah, but I've just made a pact with some kind of
right
thing.
Make a sin.
I think it drops to 0. You pay the rest. 13.
Yeah. I think that's just a you lose it all.
Get a hand in on.
I'm pretty sure.
Rolling in the deep.
You had my heart and soul in your hand.
I'm pretty sure I got body snatched. It's okay.
To the beat.
I think if that, what you did worked and stopped whatever Tommy was doing.